This is Louis Navalier. It is Tuesday, January 3rd. Well, the stock market tried to have a early January effect, but kind of lost its mojo. The main comment I would have is that the 10-year Treasury bond yield has backed down to 3.75. It was 3.87 late last week. So that's good, okay? There's obviously concerns that economic activity around the globe is light. We got evidence today that China's official purchasing managers index is under 50. It's at 49, and it dropped in December compared to November. So as the COVID infections, spread through China, it's curtailing their economic activity. Although I would add that hopefully the most Chinese of them will get herd immunity because they'll all have gotten it. And so we'll see how that develops. Russia still remains a thorn in the side of the global economy, but they are reducing their energy output by 12%. They are selling their refined product to India and other countries and to refine, and then their oil will eventually be sold via refined product. So they're figuring out how to circumvent the sanctions. It's just a very interesting environment we're in. As far as our energy stocks are concerned, natural gas prices are ultra low. Some of that is due to the fact that there's a Freeport-McMoRan LNG terminal in Corpus Christi that has been struggling to get government approval to reactivate, and that kind of artificially suppressed natural gas prices. But the weather's also having an impact because it warmed up after our Siberian Express in the U.S., and Europe has had abnormally warm temperatures as well. So natural gas is going to remain very weather dependent. Crude oil prices are down a bit today, but I do expect them to be very firm in the upcoming months because the Biden administration will stop draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. The other interesting thing that's going on is what's happening to EV sales. Obviously, Tesla is getting spanked today because it missed its sales targets. And if I was Elon Musk, I might want to have more realistic sales targets. They are still selling a lot of cars, and there's a lot of cars in inventory. So many so that their Shanghai plant closed initially for 8 days. Now it's going to be closed all of January. And why that's important is Shanghai makes most of the money for Tesla. Those Shanghai cars use iron phosphate batteries. They're not as efficient as the Tesla sold in America, but they're great city cars, and you can sell them a lot cheaper. And I think the whole problem with the EV industry right now is pretty obvious. They're expensive, okay? And interest rates are higher now, and a lot of people just can't afford them, even if they wanted them. There was also a lot of Tesla flipping going on. I mean, I know a few people in California that were just ordering Teslas to flip them, and obviously that has ceased, okay? So it's interesting just to watch all this develop. Obviously, Tesla will remain the EV leader, but, Ford, Hyundai, Volkswagen Group are all coming on fast. GM's going to be a little bit slower because they are not using iron phosphate batteries right now, and they're using the federal grant money from the Biden administration to build all the new battery plants with LG Solutions. They used to be called the LG Chem. So fascinating times, but it'll be interesting to see how the EV industry evolves. In the meantime, I have an EV. It's still been dead for 5 months. We hope to get it this week. Some new batteries showed up. It's kind of annoying when the EV dies because they're basically like old cell phones. So it'll be fascinating. And the Biden administration, of course, now has new incentives this year to sell EVs that weren't available in December. So it'll be interesting if that helps move all this excess inventory that's building. So fascinating times we're in here, folks. The most important thing for you folks to know is that on January 12th, we're going to have the CPI report. And a lot of us are getting excited that it's going to be a good one. And that owner's equivalent rent, which is housing and rental costs, is going to start to moderate. Now, this has been the biggest problem in the CPI in the past. Owner's equivalent rent remains stubbornly high. And but based on the latest rental data, the housing crunch, existing home sales are down 37.8% trailing 12 months. It looks like it's going to go down finally and help the CPI decline. So the other thing you should know about owner's equivalent rent, it's a smaller component of the PCE, the Personal Consumption Expenditure Index, which is the Fed's official inflation indicator. So so we're hoping that for more good inflation news. We'll see on January 12th. So that might get the market going. The other thing that'll get it going, of course, is earnings season. I have to watch the analyst community very carefully. They're probably back from their holiday hiatus, and we want to see if they're optimistic or pessimistic, and are they revising their estimates higher or lower? So we got to watch that as well. But so January 12th is going to be a big day. Then we're going to have all the earnings come out. Then we have the Fed's FOMC meeting on February 1st. And I do expect a dovish FOMC statement because, they've done a number on the economy. And even if the economy grew in the fourth quarter, consumer spending is still sputtering a bit. So fascinating times we're in. But all I can tell you is I'm very comfortable with my small mid-cap stocks. The reason I'm so comfortable with them is the P ratios are ridiculous now. I just did one of my small mid-cap letters, and my buy list is trading at 6.8 times median current earnings. That's trailing earnings. And just 2.8 times forecasted earnings for this year, 2023. So that's ridiculous. I've never had P ratios this low. Now, I do have a lot of cyclical stocks, and cyclical stocks have lower P's. But I think the market sell-off has been a little bit too extreme. The main thing you folks need to know is that a leadership change is going to continue. The reason you see selling pressure in Tesla is it got, other than, it missed its sales targets, and is that it got kicked out of the ESG index back in May, and the S&P ESG index. So that just triggers all the selling pressure. And obviously Mr. Musk selling the stock didn't help either. The reason you see tech stocks under pressure, big mega tech stocks, is they're shrinking as a percent of the S&P. So the tracking managers on Wall Street, which account for the majority of managers, that try to track benchmarks versus beat them, are forced to sell. So basically, the tail end of the S&P, the small mid-cap sector, the more domestic sector, should be doing better. Energy and food-related stocks are going to be doing better. A good example is one of the food stocks we really like is Lamb & Wesson. It's a French fry company, believe it or not. They dominate French fries. And there's a potato shortage, if you haven't heard about it. And they're big internationally. And they're obviously based in Idaho, but they're big internationally. So we're obsessed with finding stocks that are going to profit in the current environment, are going to profit from shortages or inflation. And that's, I think, really the key right now. The other thing I want to assure you folks is that you see a lot of games on Wall Street. You see the algorithmic traders hit the winners or the losers rally. It's just up, down action. The algorithmic trading that goes on out there, led by Citadel, as we get closer to earnings season, it kind of dies down, okay? Because they don't want to get caught off guard during earnings season. So I think earnings season is very important. It really kicks off in about 3 weeks for us. But I think right now, as I look ahead, January 12th, okay, the day the CPI is announced is going to be a big day. If that CPI is lower because owner's equivalent rent's starting to go down, and we're going to have a nice rally, okay? And it's going to really lower inflation expectations. It's going to maybe cause the Fed to admit that they're almost done raising rates on February 1st. So this would be great. And so hang in there. You know, a lot of people like to say as January goes, the year it goes. That is kind of true. So we would like a positive January, but we need some catalysts and we need some sparks. And of course, the final thing I'm going to be watching is the Strategic Petroleum Reserve releases. They should be ending this month. They should have ended in December, but the new Congress will probably not allow the Biden administration to continue to deplete the Strategic Petroleum Reserve much longer, because the criticism is going to be relentless. So I'm very curious about that too, because when you dump 180 million barrels of oil in the market in the last 6 months, it did drive crude oil prices artificially lower. So that's going to change things here. And so I do expect crude oil prices to meander higher as seasonal demand picks up. Obviously, we need China to recover. We need Europe to recover. So we'll see. And speaking of Europe, Italy's starting to push back now on the rate increases. They have the biggest debt of any of the European countries, major European countries. So they're not too crazy about raising rates right now. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. So fascinating times we're in, folks. But the good news is our best defense, strong offense. We got earnings coming out in 3 weeks. We're going to have a good CPI report on the 12th, from what I can see. And I do expect the small mid-cap stocks to lead the way right now. This is their time of year. This is when they're seasonally strong. But also when the big techs and the mega techs are getting hit. Usually the tail end of the S&P, the more domestic stocks do better. And I've been here before, folks. You know, in March of 2000, the tech bubble burst. What happened is for 7 straight years, the tail end of the S&P did better than the top end. So I can't see 7 years out, but I can see a couple of years out. And I feel very good about the small mid caps, especially since the P ratios are at record low levels. So hang in there. I know it's still very stressful for a lot of you folks, but good news is going to be coming out here in the upcoming weeks. So let's hope it just drop kicks and helps drive our stocks higher. It'll still be a narrow market, but at least we have the creme la creme, the best stocks for you folks. Take care, everybody. It's Louis Navalier, and I'll keep updating the podcast during fast market conditions.